little bit more money in the marketplace. So I'm Todd Bricks. I run the Windows Phone Marketplace on the business and marketing side. So when you submit apps, get those apps published, have them promoted or featured, I or a member of my team is typically involved in helping manage those processes or making those decisions. And so I definitely will have a question and answer period at the end. I know a lot of you have very specific kind of comments or questions, which I want to be able to address, and I'll be hanging out after as well. So with that, I was hoping to cover a few topics that built on the keynote disclosure items that Joe Belfiore did yesterday. First of all, just a quick update on the state of the marketplace as of yesterday evening. I wanted to go through the Windows Phone Marketplace, both from a user perspective and then what we're doing in the App Hub experience to make that experience better in the Mango timeframe. We'll talk a little bit more about the market expansion and announce some new global publishing partners that we're glad to announce today. And then I'll go specifically into making money, which will be true in Mango, but are things you can do today to increase the revenue as well as that you earn from your investments in the business on Windows Phone. And so we'll be going through those as well. So Marketplace has always been conceived of and thought of at Microsoft as really as a way of connecting developers with users. And both sides of those equations need to balance. Users need to have a wide variety of high-quality experiences and also be able to purchase items and consume content with confidence that it works and it treats their information as they would expect in a private and well-managed way. On the other hand, we also try to make sure the marketplace is a great way for developers not only to showcase their innovation and distribute their innovation, but also to make sure their applications and games are highly discoverable to users in lots of ways. Users look for content, discover content, find content in very different ways, so we want to make sure we address all those ways users find content. And then also, of course, and perhaps most importantly to some of you, is promoting monetization. And so we have specific strategies that help, whether it be an ad-funded or pay-to-own kind of business models, to make sure that you're making the most money and have the opportunities to do that. And so far, it's been a very successful exchange of value between you and many customers. As of yesterday, we have over 13,000 applications and games in the marketplace. It's been growing at a pretty steady clip of around 100 per day, a big increase over the previous rate over the last couple of months. The catalog's pretty balanced with a lot of great paid content as well as free content for users. And we have about 61 exclusive Xbox Live titles in the catalog today. And I'll talk more about Xbox Live when we get to the monetization section, because the presence and existence of a lot of the Xbox Live titles and the higher price points that they typically carry help lift the overall average selling price and usage of paid content in the marketplace across the board. All of these apps and games have been provided by a huge number of developers, many from you in the audience here today. We have over 38,000 developers that have kind of registered and paid their money to submit applications to users across the world. A large number of those have already been active in submitting applications, and we expect more and more to do so over the upcoming weeks and months. It's been pretty impressive and, frankly, a little bit surprising how engaged and enthusiastic so many developers have been to participate on the Windows Phone Marketplace and on Windows Phone across the board. The applications that you're building are loved by users. Today, users typically download 12 applications or games every single month, roughly about 140 to 150 per year at an annualized kind of rate. That's very high relative to a number of other kind of app stores on other platforms, and we think it's indicative of the quality of the experiences that you are providing, and we're happy to distribute for you. The really interesting stat that we became a little bit clearer on over the last couple of months is the effectiveness of the trial capability. Trial works in a big way to help users evaluate content before they pay for it. And those developers that have employed a trial API function in their application or game typically experience a 10% conversion rate from the free trial version to the paid version, which is a very high conversion rate for any kind of consumer digital offer. And also, we employ a merchandising strategy to promote really great applications that you and the developer community produce via what we call merchandising, which is some of the editorially as opposed to the algorithmically defined ways of promoting content that's available in the marketplace. On average, when we promote content this way, developers see, regardless of what the title is, typically a 500% uplift in downloads or purchases associated with that. And that's part of the presentation capabilities that we have that really introduce new content to users that may not be familiar with it or prefer kind of a browse methodology as opposed to a find methodology for their app purchases. And this nets out to generating high average revenue per user. Today, we have MO billing agreements that cover about 50% of our user base. MO billing is really important because when MO billing is available, there's a barrier that's removed for the user to purchase content. And that barrier typically is providing a set of credit card information. And so with MO billing, it's pretty much a single-click kind of purchase experience. And typically, paid download rates go up anywhere from 2 to 3x. For mobile operators and markets where we have MO billing enabled today. And that's more revenue for you and that we can put back into the ecosystem. That partially translates into a relatively high percentage of paid downloads. Of all those downloads that I talked about, 12 per day or 12 per month per user, about 3.2% of those over the last month have been paid downloads. And the average selling price for those applications or games is relatively high at almost $3 across the board. So again, this is average, and depending on the price points you've picked or the markets you're distributed in, you'll obviously see differences. And there are people that overperform that, and there are people that underperform that. But this is the average across the marketplace today. And so I wanted to start, first of all, with thanking you. We wouldn't be able to produce this amount of revenue for the developer ecosystem without every single developer who's published an application or game participating and making the experience great for users. Your content is why people come to the marketplace. It's not because of content we produce. It's because of content you produce. Well, we've had some challenges certainly along the way. The marketplace launch was not as smooth as we would have liked, and many of you experienced that. We've been working very hard, though, to fix a lot of the challenges that were initially available. Over the last 4 or 5 months, we've solved a number of issues around support responsiveness. We've raised the free app submission limit, which was holding up a lot of folks, from 5 to 100 per year. We fixed many market-specific registration challenges, particularly with postal codes and forms and some other hindrances to developers in many countries. We fixed a lot of the problems associated with Xbox Live profile that was causing registration errors. And then we've improved the number of the test results so that developers get pretty clear and accurate information. So we've made a lot of progress so far. We know, though, that there is a lot more to do, and we're committed to fixing these challenges that maybe not all of you experience, but certainly some of you do. One has been around application certification consistency and test results feedback. We know human beings are involved in certifying our content. And when you have human beings involved in a process, even though it's a highly standardized methodology that they use, different individuals, even if there's two looking at the same app, might come to different conclusions on certain gray areas. We know that's very frustrating, particularly in the circumstances of update submissions to existing apps that are already in there. And so we're investing to improve the testing consistency. We've invested a lot, not only in improved testing methodologies, but increased resources on the certification front, and are preparing and will be soon delivering improved test results report, particularly around policy failure reasons, to give a little bit more guidance as to exactly what was a problem, so that you can fix it more easily and readily. We know the ID validation process is also cumbersome for a lot of folks, particularly outside the United States. And we're revamping that validation process, particularly for individual accounts, to make it much more automated and immediate and requiring less set of information while still providing users with with a set of developers who they know they can trust and have been vetted. We know the W-8 form requirement is another pain point, particularly for developers outside the United States. We're working to simplify and automate that process over the next several months. We know the submission process at times has produced errors and bottlenecks and is not as consistent as we would like, and we're investing to fix that as well. And we know some of the registration payment failures for some of you remain a concern, which we're working to address as well. So now I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about the future Windows Phone marketplace and then circle back to the core topic, which is how to make more money in the marketplace today. So we'll start with the user experience. Joe Belfiore did a wonderful job of walking through the new marketplace user experience, but I wanted to drill down a little bit in a couple areas that he didn't have time to cover so you have an idea of how your content's going to be presented to users in the Mango timeframe. The first thing that we're doing is improving discoverability. Especially as the catalog gets larger and larger, it becomes more and more difficult for users to discover content that they're interested, that they'd be interested in if they knew how to get to it. So the first thing we're doing is making the marketplace hub visible in all markets. Today, most countries in the world see an applications hub, but they don't see a marketplace hub. In Mango, we're expanding the number of markets that Xbox Live services and music services are available so that we can have a marketplace hub experience for everyone in all the markets that Mango ships in. We're also enabling soft key access to search results as well so that users can find a particular kind of application or title that they might be interested in. This gives you a little bit of a look and feel of how it's going to look like. So today, you'll still have the background panoramic image, but you'll have the set of categories of applications, games, music, as well as podcasts that users can find and discover content that they're interested in, all in a single storefront environment. We're also continuing to have mobile operators and device partner stores where users can find exclusive content specific to the network capabilities or the handset capabilities of the mobile operator or device that they've purchased across the board. In Mango, we're introducing a new games marketplace. And so this will be a dedicated area where users can just find games. Games represent today almost 30% of all of the catalog entries. We're delighted to have that many games, and we know users spend a lot of money and use a lot of time playing games. And so what we wanted to do is make that game experience more discoverable in the marketplace. And so you see here an animation of what the games marketplace would look like. It's very similar and consistent to the apps marketplace, but it'll be just for games, providing increased discoverability and promotion opportunities for those of you that build games, both Xbox Live as well as non-Xbox Live and independent kind of games as well, with a separate ability for users to download, update, or search games specifically. The other thing that we're adding as part of games to enable games to be distributed more broadly is introducing a new parental control system that will enable M-rated games. Today, our standard is kind of teen-rated effectively, but to distribute marketplace and games in many markets around the world requires a game rating. And so what we've tried to do is make that automated so that when you submit a game application, you can apply and provide the certificate required with these game ratings so that more M-rated type of content can be made available to adults in the marketplace. And also restrict access to those to children who might be using your phone. I know a lot of us have a lot of games on our phone that we hand to our kid, and we don't necessarily want them discovering content that we don't feel personally comfortable doing so. So we'll now have a parental control type of system as well. A big investment for us in Mango is improved relevance of the search experience across the board. And so in addition to having soft key access for search apps, we're also enabling context-specific key search in Marketplace. So today, when you search, you tend to get an unfiltered set of results of query terms that kind of meet the query parameters that have been set. In Mango, we'll make that very specific to the context that you're in. We'll also do some neat things like enable query autocomplete for typical type of searches and to filter by content. So in this example, someone searching by arcade, they can pivot left and right to see apps and games, music and podcasts where those search terms appear. So a little bit easier for users to find and search for content. We're also, and Joe mentioned this in the keynote as well, introducing a new feature we call Extras. And what Extras do is for when a user is using a hard key search, maybe just a typical web search for a restaurant, a movie, any kind of information, if there are games or applications that the user's already installed on the phone, those applications will show up as search results so that the user can access and maybe fulfill a search interest request via an application they've already purchased or downloaded across the board. And so in this example, someone's done a search for movies, and specifically in this case, Margie's Travel. And so instead of just getting a long list of web search results, you'll actually see a movie card associated with Margie's Travel, which gives a little bit more detailed information on the search result. And if the user scrolls to the left, they'll see extras. And what extras are will be a set of applications that the user may have already installed that also have maybe even more information around trailers, cast information, et cetera, around that search result, providing yet another way for users to re-engage and rediscover content and applications and games they've already downloaded across the board. We're also improving the layout of the marketplace as well to include what we call an app improved app details page. And so the initial version of the marketplace came with Windows Phone 7 behaved a little bit differently than the rest of the UI. And what we're trying to do is make that a more consistent and cohesive Windows Phone 7 design experience by providing a lot of the app detail information in page pivots. And so where the app details page components live in pivots across the board. So when a user is looking for details or additional information about an application or game that you've submitted and published, they can swipe to see the screenshots, they can swipe again to see reviews, and they can swipe yet again to see related type of content that they might be interested in. And we think anything we can do to help users make a more informed purchase helps improve the amount and number of downloads as well as paid purchases in the marketplace, which benefit you. Joe also mentioned the app installation and app list as well, so I won't go through this in too much detail. The key thing here is we're trying to solve the problem that we kind of colloquially refer to as the dude, where's my app problem, which is where users purchase or acquire content but weren't quite sure initially where it was. And so what we're trying to do is make that process much easier. So when a user selects a piece of an application or game that they want to purchase or download, they would hit install. That takes the user then right to the installation location, wherever that may be in the phone UI, in this example, in the app list page, and show a progress bar as installation progresses so that the user kind of knows exactly where to find that application. Because typically, most users, after downloading or buying an app or a game, want to immediately find it and use it. And so we're making that a lot easier in Mango. So that was the user experience. Let me translate now and shift to the App Hub developer experience, which is the other side of the coin, which is how applications and games actually get into the marketplace across the board. What we didn't mention in the keynote, but what we are doing in Mango is creating what we call a new beta distribution service. And the beta distribution service is a way for you as developers to distribute pre-certified applications to an access-controlled set of beta users. And so if you have a set of beta users that might be in your company or around the world, this is a way of using the marketplace distribution system to distribute applications to just those people that you want to see them to see them and use them. Thank you. So there's a set of the beta distribution service is pretty straightforward. Some of the exact numbers are subject to change. We're welcoming feedback on these as we kind of set these parameters up for later this year. The basic process is the developer selects a list of testers. Right now we're thinking about 100, where the developer then sends an email or contacts those users with a private deep link to their application in the marketplace. Only those testers that receive that deep link then can actually access and download that content that's intended for them only. The one limitation we have is that beta cannot be updated. So if you have multiple beta releases, you'd have to resubmit and then redistribute the deep link across the board. The benefits of this system is you don't need to unlock phones to test apps or make sure everyone has an unlocked phone to kind of test apps. in your extended community of testers for applications, and hopefully enables you to build higher quality apps. Because there isn't a certification requirement through this step, it also allows, there's no latency basically between the time you want to publish a beta app to your beta community and when it actually shows up and is available to them. The other distribution service that we have as well is what we call a private distribution service. And the private distribution service works is kind of an extension of the beta service, but serves a different set of needs. This is to distribute certified applications, but to do so privately to a targeted set of users. So the capabilities here is that the application gets certified through the regular process that we have. The developer then sends a deep link to any number of users who they want to privately distribute this to. It could be 100, it could be thousands. The developer can update that application once it's been privately distributed, but there is no access enforcement in this type of scenario. So in this scenario, if someone else got a hold of the deep link, then they would be able to see it. But otherwise, it's not discoverable to users except to the extent to which they have a deep link to do that. These kind of applications could be free or paid, and the application could be published publicly at any time. So if you want to go out of like private or preview mode into more of a public mode, you can just do that through the application AppHub experience itself. This enables a broader distribution of applications, but in a more private kind of way, providing a lot of flexibility to developers and different business models and release schedules on how they may want to make available content. One of the scenarios we thought specifically around for this is the situation where you may want to share an application you've built with reviewers of applications around the world and do that in a very straightforward way without having to make sure that reviewer has an unlocked device and you attach to the Zap via an email, et cetera. So we're trying to simplify that process dramatically. So two new distribution services, beta distribution and private. This is how they sort of compare across the board to the public distribution option. The key difference between the private and the public is really the public discoverability notion of it as well. And so it's not a complete solution. It is not an enterprise software distribution mechanism by any means, but it is a way of distributing applications and games to a set of users that you may not otherwise want to have publicly available just in the marketplace. So we're giving you a spectrum of options of how you can get your applications and games to users from a pretest environment to a publish environment. As I mentioned, we have challenges that we've been working through, many of which we've solved, but we're continuing to invest in improving the AppHub workflow process. We're streamlining a number of the submission flow steps across the board to make it easier and faster and more intuitive of how to submit applications, particularly multiple applications throughout the update process. We're going to be doing things like multiple selection of artwork, so you don't have to do it one at a time. You can select multiple sets of artwork and submit them all at once. We are planning to automate and bring online the W-8 tax form collection validation process, so we get out of the paper world that we're in for many of us today into a more of an online world. And we're also planning to do online U.S. Taxpayer identification number validation. This is going to be particularly important not only for U.S.-based developers, but also international non-U.S. developers to be able to more quickly get paid and make sure that the right tax treatment is applied to any revenues that you earn through sales in the marketplace. We're also making all the data exportable in an XML feed so that, yes, we provide a lot of reports and capabilities, but we know there's a lot of ways you look at information that's different from the standard report forms that we provide, and we want to make sure you have access to that information in a readily consumable form so you can manipulate it and draw your own conclusions and do your own analysis, both technical and business, of the results that you've experienced in the marketplace across the board. And finally, as we expand markets to additional markets, we know that English is not the best language for all users in many markets, and so we'll be expanding AppHub localization to Korean as well as simplified Chinese, making it easier for developers in those markets who are not as familiar or not familiar at all with English to kind of submit applications and manage their business on Windows Phone. We're going to be enhancing the dashboard that provides via what we call an app lifecycle tab. And so this is a way to kind of provide a more real-time and hopefully more clear set of steps and actions of what you need to do, as well as any clear any notifications that you may need to take action upon to expedite the app certification and submission process. We're also adding capabilities in the App Hub to show more of the payment amounts that allow you to more easily track the money earned to date, and to highlight and share all the downloads and royalty income that you've generated through your portfolio of applications and games. This provides a little bit of a view as to how that centralized dashboard will look, hopefully to make it easier for you to manage your business in more of a glanceable way. In addition to the game ratings and the parental control capabilities that we talked about for Windows Phone, we also do that on the front end, too, when you submit applications. And so in App Hub, we will require game ratings in markets where it's required. We don't expect all of you to know become experts in what the game ratings are. As you see at the bottom, it's kind of an alphabet soup of gaming standards that every country separately enforces and requires in their country. We've done that legwork for you and provide an online experience for you to kind of navigate that and make sure that your gaming content has the right ratings for the markets that you want to distribute your games in. So all these enhancements I talked about for App Hub are coming this July. So this is when you'll start seeing them show up. And most of these enhancements will apply not only to Mango-based apps based on the new tooling set comes out in May, but also to Windows Phone 7 apps that you already have and have published as well. So more markets. So one of the key things to enabling greater opportunity is having more places where developers can submit apps from and more places where users can buy apps in. So today we're also announcing four new global publishing partners, AppPort, Apple Market, Device7, and Mtel. And these countries have now decided to become global publishing partners in our program that will enable developers outside of the currently supported markets to submit applications, get paid for applications, and unlock phones in markets outside the 30 or so markets that we support today. AppPort focuses on East Asia. Apple Market focuses on Central and Eastern Europe. Device7 and Mtel focus on China. And Yala Apps, we announced earlier in March, focuses primarily on countries in the Middle East and Africa. And so if you're a developer in these countries, I encourage you to check out each of these the companies and look and compare against their business terms and service policies to figure out what the best way is for you to submit your application to global users through the marketplace. With the addition of these global publishing partners, today nearly 97% now of the world's developers now can submit applications to the Windows Phone 7 marketplace. The yellow countries are what we support today. We're adding 9 new countries in Mango in the summer time frame. And then the blue shaded countries are ones that are currently being serviced by global publishing partners around the world. In addition, in Mango, we'll be expanding the number of markets that Marketplace is available in. So today, it's a relatively small footprint of countries in North America and Western Europe and a few countries in Asia Pacific. We're expanding that pretty dramatically from a user perspective to an additional 1.8 billion potential customers for your apps and games by bringing Marketplace to many large countries, like Japan, India, Russia, and Brazil, as well as smaller countries that have higher incomes and purchase apps and games at high rates. Now I'll transition to making money. So I've talked a little bit about what we're doing to enhance the marketplace experience for users, the App Hub experience for developers in the Mango timeframe. But now I want to talk about how you can make more money today. So there's seven key ways that I'm going to share with you that may or may not make sense for all of you and all of your businesses. But each of you should at least find one or two that you can take home and start implementing very soon to increase your revenue, however you or your profit, however you define it. The first way is to use the trial API. The most significant way, if you are one of the 62% of developers that make your money today off of submitting paid applications, the number one thing you can do is to add a trial capability to your application or game. Today, on average, only about 45% of the applications that could use the trial capability choose to do so. So over half of you don't. And that's unfortunate because with the trial API, what we've noticed is that downloads typically go up 70x over a typical kind of game that doesn't have a trial download. Of those 70 times more downloads, about 10% of them end up converting to a full purchase, a full product purchase, and half of those typically convert within the first few hours of doing so. So users do use trial not as a way of getting free capability, but as a way of evaluating the content and making a more informed purchase decision. Just like all of us wouldn't buy a car without driving around, most users like to test out an app before they part with their money. And so I encourage you to use the trial API. And that, for developers that do that, typically their revenue goes up pretty significantly as a result. Some points around the trial. Don't give away, obviously, too much of the value. If you give away all the value, there's really going to be no reason for a user to upgrade to the full paid purchase. Trial conversion rates vary wildly. We have trial conversion rates as high as 36% and as low as just 1 or 2%. And so it does vary dramatically, and you have to decide, you know, what the right level and strategy is for encouraging users to buy the full purchase product. It is important, though, to make the trial experience compelling. If it's just a screenshot that doesn't provide a lot of value, most users aren't going to get a good feel for what the app actually does and won't end up purchasing it as a result. Time and capability trials tend to work. The capability trials may be a little bit more than time-based trials. Being able to unlock or enable additional content or functionality once the user's kind of hooked on your initial sales proposition is a very effective means of acquiring conversion. And then what some developers are doing, which I think is a very smart idea, is incorporating ad capability in their trial versions. And so this is typically kind of called freemium, the freemium business model, but this is kind of a two-tier kind of model where you're making some money on advertising-based monetization in the trial version and maybe keep that ad monetization mechanism and or add a paid component to the full purchase product experience across the board. So that's number one. Number two, use live tiles with push. Only 10% of applications today use live tiles with push notification. And that's a missed opportunity for many developers because live tiles increase user use frequency, the duration of the session use, and overall user satisfaction. People like to pin tiles to their start screen, and the tiles that are live and dynamic are ones that their eyes naturally go to when they're navigating their start screen dashboard experience. This results in more impressions. So if you are in the business of making money off of impressions and use, having live tiles is a way of inviting the user back to engage with your application or game in a compelling way. A couple pieces of advice that have worked for many developers that have employed them is indicate that the live tile is available in your long description of the application. People are actually looking for applications with live tiles and associate those applications and games with more value than those that don't. And so if you have this capability, make a point to note it in your long description. Think carefully about the kind of push content that you want to surface in the live tile. Different applications will have different web services or information that they may want to surface. The capabilities will become dramatically expanded for doing this. For not only web-based push notification services, but on-device services in Mango, where additional 1,600 APIs, and you'll be able to do things like have read access to the contact database calendar and have applications run in a fast app switching mode in the background. So the possibilities increase by a factor of an order of magnitude in Mango timeframe. And then make the live tile stand out. People love to show off the live tiles and what they do. And if there's something clever that's being done, whether it's a picture, a graphic, or some kind of number or text string, those are the kind of interesting things that people, users like. If you're in the ad monetization business for your application, we know most of you have used the APS ad control. And this has been generally a very good thing for most developers who've adopted it. The APS system is a little bit different from other mobile ad solutions out there today, in that it's a bidded ad exchange network where multiple ad networks are competing and bidding on a real-time basis to serve ads in your application across the board. It leverages a lot of the learning as well as the relationships that Microsoft has built also with advertisers who want to show advertising in a PC or web type of context as well. And that's done via targeting via Windows Live ID, which improves the CPM across the board. And the revenue share is 70% that they offer today. The key thing here, though, is that for the highest eCPM, and most a lot of applications take advantage of this, but most still do not, which is make sure location services are enabled as part of the experience in an opt-in, consumer-aware type of way. This dramatically improves the eCPM because it allows advertisers to target by zip code in the United States and in the future in other countries where they can monetize and make money across the board. So if you're in the ad-funded business, you need to have a location-based service component, ideally, turned on and associated with your ad control to provide more discrete advertiser targeting and demographic information. The fourth point is to price it right. Today, the business model is pretty straightforward. Revenue equals price times quantity. So it's not just about having the lowest price point. It's also the number of units that you sell. And the marketplace works very differently, we've observed, from other app stores that maybe you participate in or that you've experienced across the board, primarily because the Xbox portfolio is a curated portfolio that exists in the marketplace. The Xbox portfolio, minimum prices start at $299 and then step up to $499 and $699 price points. Today, just on an absolute downloads, not even revenue based, but on absolute downloads, most of those Xbox Live titles represent most of the top list. And so the publishers affiliated with Xbox Live are making a good amount of money by selling content at these $299, $499, and $699 kind of price points. What that does, and because they're good quality and highly curated experiences, it does set a user expectation that things that are priced in that ballpark will have a similarly good kind of experience and quality as well. This is netted out in terms of the average sales price for applications being high across the marketplace with a high paid rate across the board. So the key thing here is don't necessarily underprice your application when you first come out. Now, obviously, if you have a 99-cent app, and yeah, it's kind of worth about 99 cents, then that's where you are. But we noticed a lot of really great, compelling experience in apps, which really are underpriced relative to some of the comparable peer sets that are out there as well. This is obviously your decision, but we want to provide these data points. Two things you can do to kind of know whether your price is right or not is experiment with different price points in similar kind of markets. This is called A-B testing. And so you can submit the same application or binary to different markets, but just price it differently and see what the P times Q difference are in terms of the effect on the revenue. Many countries have similar demographics and purchase behaviors. New Zealand and Australia, U.S. and Canada, France and Belgium, Germany and Austria, many of those pairings of countries behave similarly in terms of the paid download rates, the overall download rates, and the consumption of content from a user perspective. And so trying that out gets you a little bit better idea of, are you pricing too low or too high? Because at the end of the day, it's always easier to cut your price than it is to raise your price for users across the board. And so it's kind of a one-way journey. So take those steps carefully. The other kind of opportunity is the large number of markets that we're in today. Today, less than 15% of the English language applications that are available in English-speaking markets have been localized to the other languages that we support, French, Italian, German, and Spanish, the FIGS languages. And most customers, probably like you, prefer and download applications and games in their local language. So one of the opportunities you have is obviously to localize and not only just publish in other markets, but to make good localizations. Content that gets localized is downloaded at a much higher rate than content that is not. This is particularly true of applications, somewhat less true for games. So the tips and tricks here are, you know, localize your metadata and the app with native speakers if possible. There are some good and not so good online translation mechanisms, but pretty much what all of them miss is the notion of the human touch and the marketing message that users respond to and generate evaluation of your application across the board. We have some native speakers on our merchandising team, and we leverage a lot of our teams across Microsoft around the world. And it really stands out night and day what's something that comes through some kind of web service provider translate program and what an actual native speaker produces. And it's very obvious to the user in those markets as well. Sixth tip, keep more of what you make. So today, almost 3/4 of developers are probably paying too much in taxes because they're not fully taking advantage of the tax treaty rates that the U.S. government, which Microsoft operates under because we're a U.S.-based company, supporting. 25 of the 29 countries that we support today have negotiated lower treaty rates, tax treaty rates, with the U.S. below 30%. So when you submit and get your taxpayer identification number, then we withhold at a lower rate than might be the case in other kind of app stores or environments, resulting in more take-home pay, either for you as an individual or for your company across the board. And the seventh, which I'll spend a little bit more time on, is to get promoted. As I mentioned, one of the best ways to get discovered and to get traction, to start a virtuous cycle of user adoption, is to get promoted. So I want to talk a little bit about what it takes to get promoted, at least in the editorial slots in the marketplace today. So there are lots of ways to get promoted in marketplace. And many of you are familiar with top and new and free. And those are algorithmically generated pivots. So there's an algorithm that runs in the marketplace service that says, here's the algorithm for displaying top applications. Here's the algorithm for displaying new applications based on most recently published and free, et cetera. We have about 5 algorithmically based and generated lists for apps, which we think are useful ways for users to discover content based on freshness or what's good. The other way we do it, though, is through editorial selections, where there's a set of individuals and teams using methodology that evaluate applications and try to promote the very best applications to users on a per-market basis. So, and there's 3 kind of locations or placements that we use. There's the background, we call the panoramic placement, which is the most compelling kind of placement. There's the featured set of icons, the yellow dots, and then there's the featured list. And for each of these, they generate a different amount of download uplift when there. When we place an application or game in the panorama section, pretty much regardless of country or market or content, on average, the download uplift numbers go up by 2,000%, or 20x of what you got the day before when you weren't in that position. The featured icons perform really well, although a little bit less, as you might expect, because they're a little bit more less prominently featured overall in the application hub. But even then, downloads go up 800% when we feature you as in the featured icon list. And the featured list itself increases download uplift by about 150%. So these are the results. So how do you get promoted exactly? Well, the best way to get promoted is to know what we're looking for, which is great applications. So we're not operating the marketplace to make a profit. We're operating the marketplace to help users discover great applications and content that make them want to recommend, prefer, and own more Windows phones. And so the way we do this is by choosing great content and applications that comes in. And we do that on kind of 3 with a set of criteria and evaluation that we wanted to share with you in case you're interested in understanding how we think about it and can incorporate some of these suggestions in your next update or next application that you do. First, we start with functionality. I mean, does the application work well? Then we focus on utility, and then we focus on kind of end-user delight across the board. So I want to give some examples of each of those and so that you can have a better understanding what we mean by a great app. from a functionality perspective, it has to have core functionality that just works as expected. The performance needs to be great. It needs to be quick loading. The scrolling needs to be smooth. The application can't hang or crash across the board. Second, we look at content quality across the board. You know, is the content dynamic? Is it hydrated by web services? Is it very well prepared in terms of how it's presented to the users? Is the description and the metadata adequately exciting and interesting that helps sell the app itself when it's in a promoted kind of position? And then we also look at ease of use. The first time the app, when a user first opens the application, can they figure out how to make it work in about 30 seconds or less, right? So is the first use of the app intuitive and reassuring? Everyone knows lots of stories, and maybe you've experienced some as well, where a user downloads an app, can't figure out how to get it to work, doesn't want to read the help file, go to the website, and then just sits there and never gets used again. Most apps suffer that fate, and one of the reasons is because users can't figure out how to get the most value out of the application or how to use it easily. So ease of use is a key criteria. The second bucket of things we look at is utility, which is really incorporating mobile features in the application or game, as well as visual impact that compel frequent use and hopefully some kind of an original way. So the feature set, we really look for applications that take full advantage of the device features as a mobile app across the board, with mobile scenarios and even some surprises that introduce new and unexpected capabilities to the user across the board. Visual impact. The Windows Phone 7 design experience is very different from most others, and users get used to that fact of kind of an artistic and design element throughout the entire user interface and expect something similar in the applications that they use every day across the board. So, you know, it's important to have a great use of color, your graphical placement, and the visual elements available. And we've seen lots of apps like this. You've seen lots of apps like this in Windows Phone 7. Users love these kind of apps, and they use them all the time, and they want to show their friends them as well. Stickiness. Stickiness is a little bit of an amorphous quantity, but it's really about apps that are likely to compel frequent and repeated use. Applications that people want to use on a daily basis or a weekly basis or some periodic basis are typically apps that people love and enjoy and get the most value out of, and so we want to make sure those types of apps are available and made available and promoted to all other kinds of users across the board. And finally, originality. Originality counts for a lot. Innovative design, innovative functionality counts for a lot in our selection criteria. We're really looking for concepts that push the boundaries for mobile applications and offer innovative features, or at least best-in-category innovation across the board. And then the tip of the pyramid is really around delight. And delight, the first one is just a wow factor. Hopefully all of us have experienced this. When you find an application or an application gets shared to you by a friend, say, wow, you've got to check this app out. It's something you want to take out of your pocket. You want to launch the application and show and tell somebody about the app, how cool it is. When you have those moments, that's when you know you've hit the wow factor. And that's typically caused by amazing application capabilities that really make the user smile and inspires this kind of show and tell type of behavior. Second aspect of delight is really the Windows Phone 7 design language. That really makes full use of the design language elements, the controls, the iconography, the font, in an uncluttered, polished, clean experience in terms of how it's laid out. People love the design interface on Windows Phone 7 system and really like the applications that kind of adopt and take advantage of that design system too. And there's lots of online tools and code samples that make it easier today than maybe 6 months ago to go do this in your application. And then the third and final thing about delight is Windows Phone 7 platform features. And so we really like applications and users, because users like applications that take advantage of live tiles, that take advantage of push notification, that integrate with the hub, with the various hubs that are available for them to be placed in. And so those are other factors we look at. So, you know, in total, there's about 10 criteria that we look at. It is a subjective thing. There is no right formula, and different countries have different expectations that we take into account, too, in terms of local relevance and other types of content for promotion. But we hopefully this gives you and those that are listening a little bit better idea of what we look for, which is great applications to promote. A little bit more detail then on advertising. You know, the Microsoft Ad Control today supports Silverlight and XNA with click-to-web and click-to-call scenarios. We know today that this is limited to the United States, but we're going to be expanding that to more markets, particularly in the second half of 2011. We're just not at a point where we can share what those markets are or exactly when yet. It does provide very good monetization, as I mentioned, across the board. You can get more information at the Advertising Publishing Center. In-app advertising is a major investment for us. This is not the show that we're disclosing a lot of information around that, but I know it's very important to many of you and your business models. The final thing I want to talk about is managed indie games. So if you are a game developer, and about 30% of the titles in the catalog are games, Microsoft Game Studio runs what we call an indie game. So all those titles that you see there, Xbox Live, are not, you know, made by Microsoft developers. They're made by third-party publishers that partner with Xbox Live to publish them as Xbox Live titles. This program is very open to other game developers as well. If you have a game that you would like to be part of the Xbox Live publishing family. And this provides access to a lot of the Xbox Live services as well as the various promotion mechanism Xbox Live as a consumer brand and a service offers across the board. And great games are wanted, period, of all types. They can be puzzle trivia games. They can be first-person shooter games. It really, or tower defense games. It really doesn't matter what the game is. What's really important is that the app is that the game is great. And it's Xbox Live quality and can take advantage of some of the Xbox Live services. With the key proviso that, you know, the minimum price point is $299. So it is kind of a curated portfolio, and they, Xbox Live really wants to encourage games that are at that price point or higher in their portfolio across the board. And if you're interested in learning more about this program, there's an alias you can send your interest to. We have a set of folks that just manage the we call our Mindy program on a full-time basis, and we can be glad to follow up with you for not only the opportunities on mobile, but also on the console and the PC as well, as Xbox Live runs across multiple platforms. So summary kind of calls to actions. First of all, if you have problems, and we know some of you do, you know, visit the App Hub, the forum, or contact support. It's available at create.msdn.com right under the resources tab. So please take us up on that. This is the way we learn about problems. This is the way we fix problems. This is the way we get feedback. Consider whether any of the ways, seven ways I've talked about to make more money apply to you and or your business or application to help you get more out of your investment that you've made in Windows Phone 7. Review the Great App promotion criteria. We're going to be publishing a more detailed version of the couple slides I provided that give you some guidance and tips as well as examples on how to improve or make your app better. When you're thinking about your update plans or your new plans for new applications or games, make sure you consider the localization factor and how you want to take advantage of the new markets that marketplace will be available in. And by all means, please continue to give us feedback. Everything that we've done in Marketplace in Mango has been because we've gotten feedback from you as developers, from users, in terms of what they like and what they don't like. And we try to do more of the, you know, like things and less of the don't like things and fix the problems that we've come across and that you've helped us find across the board. So please continue doing that. With that, I'd love to open it up to questions from the audience. I believe there's a microphone available, but you can shout it out. I'll shout it back so everyone can hear, and then I'll try to do my best. The microphone's not quite on in the middle here. I don't know if we can turn it on. Or you can just shout it out. I'll try to repeat. I'm sorry, what? Who are the global publishing partners?
How are they different from just any company that publishes my app?
Yeah, so we worked with each of the global publishers to provide a certain level of fidelity and security around certain things they need to do in terms of protecting developer data, ensuring developer payout. And so the people that we were working with global publishers, we've worked with them to go do that. And it's a new program, and so so far, one of the companies that we've worked with has seen a huge interest in, from developers. And so it's an option for developers. It's certainly not a required one.
Hi. It's working. I have several questions. I'm going to do only two.
Okay. Shoot.
The first one about the criteria for advertisement. What is the frequency and what is the life cycle of an app being published as a panorama or as an icon? Right. How does that work?
Yeah, so the panorama or the featured icons, those are editorially selected. In general, about 5% of the catalog in any given month for any given country tends to get circulated and is in one of those positions. But we do use some criteria that I talked about. So it's not a case that it automatically gets generated and titles get randomly put in these positions. We actually look at every single app, play with it for a considerable amount of time, and evaluate it to make sure it's going to be a great experience for a user.
Okay, so what I would like to see is a little bit more specific how it's rotated. Because if an app is there, it's obvious that it complies with all the requirements. So why shouldn't it stay there? So I think that maybe you're missing that another criteria is the how old is the app or something like that.
Yeah, so I mean we definitely have lots of different ways for users to discover app. We have search-based mechanisms, we have new, we have top, we have free, we have lots of different pivots. The handful of featured placements I talked about are ones where people on my team basically select content that we think is really good that users from that market will really like, and that's what we program into our publishing routines, and then they show up.
Okay, thanks. And the last question, cost of the list of developers. So if I want to deploy an application for a group of testers, up to 100 is what you said.
Right.
Is that something that I have to pay?
No. Our plan is just to make that part of the same registration fee that everybody pays, and that's just a free service that's included with the marketplace service agreement you signed.
Thanks a lot.
Yep.
Hey, Todd. Great presentation.
Thank you.
One question. You talked about publishing apps to more places, and today you mentioned 16 countries or 16 markets. How many
right.
operators represent those 16 markets?
Well, we distribute with mobile operators in pretty much all those markets. So today, the end user experience for Marketplace is kind of available in 16 markets.
Okay. When
some Windows Phone 7 devices are shipped outside of those markets, but the Marketplace service doesn't operate in those markets. In Mango, we're increasing that from 16 to 35 markets across the board. So the opportunity will continue to expand. So today, maybe there's 900 million users in the markets we support. We're tripling that by another 1.8 billion users in the Mango timeframe.
Okay, so more specifically, like in the UK, how many operators support operator billing?
Oh, that offer mobile operator billing?
Yeah, in 16
I think
markets.
Only one today supports mobile operator billing, but we're in discussions to expand that number in all the markets that we're in.
Okay, thanks.
Hi. On that Search Extras,
yes,
it's only for apps that have been installed. Have you thought of apps that haven't been installed? But
yeah, you're very sharp. Yeah, that's it's exactly what we're looking to go do. It's something that we want to try to do as soon as we can. And when we have information that we can confirm or deny that, we'll share that. But you're right, that would be a great idea.
And what about the capability to actually upgrade the market experience independently of a major release of, like Mango? Would you be able to, let's say halfway down the line, after Mango's out, to majorly upgrade the marketplace?
So is the question how
is
to migrate apps to future releases?
Is the marketplace an app in itself that can be upgraded kind of transparently, or does it require a full?
Well, the marketplace kind of as a set of servers, web services, and client UI that's written basically as kind of native code in the Windows Phone 7 experience. So yes, the Windows Phone 7 client does get updated as part of our normal OS update process. The Noto update that's been much talked about did include a number of enhancements in, both in terms of performance and usability in the marketplace, but it's part of that process. It's not separately updated typically from the rest of OS, and you know the OS has a certain train schedule of OS updates, and the marketplace is a part of that.
So you wouldn't be able to update the marketplace the same way a developer would be able to update his
own. Not today. That's not the way it's designed today. Yeah.
Thanks.
In your talk, you mentioned about the difference between trial and paid,
yeah.
and about how a trial app will get 70 times the viewership of paid, which
right.
I totally agree with. But it seems like there's that same 70 factor going to free, where free gets 70 times the downloads of trial.
Right.
And so a lot of people, myself and people I talk with, are now moving to have both free and paid apps
right.
so that they can get visibility in both places. I'd heard it suggested from a friend chatting about it last night of some way to indicate to the user that this isn't a handicapped app. It's just ad-based
right.
for the trial mode so that you could get that exposure under free.
Right.
I'm just concerned about there being fragmentation like what we were trying to avoid on iPhone. So is there any
right.
thought going into that going forward?
Yeah, we're looking at ways to try to make it more apparent to users exactly which apps or games have trial capability. So. And have that be more discoverable, right? So when a trial app that's ultimately paid versus free, users can make more informed decisions. So we're looking at a way of surfacing that information. It's not an ideal way today. We're looking to try to make that better. The key thing on the strategy, though, of having a kind of a free version and then the paid version, you know, that's a viable strategy for some. I mean, ideally, we'd like to have one with an integrated trial capability, which is why, you know, a lot of the things that we promote, a lot of the things algorithmic that we do, tend to promote a lot of the paid apps because the paid apps tend to be, you know, very good. A lot of them tend to be very good experiences. You know, every developer or publisher is going to have to kind of make their own trade-off decisions. I can't really provide definitive guidance because every situation is a little bit different. Some cases it might totally make sense. In many other cases, it won't make sense, and it'll be much easier to invest your time instead of managing two apps, invest your time making one really good app with a good tiered set of trial functionality. Question.
On the beta test slide, you said that there's no delay. You can get your thing and push it out there for your beta testers. But then it also said it has to be pre-certified. What is that?
Oh, English language error. So the question was, I said pre-certified, so is that instant or not? And so the idea is that we would perform kind of an online static-based analysis to just make sure certain things work. And then to publish it. So today when someone submits any kind of application for publishing, it typically goes through a 2 to 3 day type of process before it gets certified and then published. The way we envision the beta distribution service working is that you upload that application, it goes through sort of static analysis, it's not a 2 to 3 day process, it's like a couple minute process, and then the application is available to the users you want to see it.
What do you suggest for time-based trial? I mean, how should I keep tracking of time?
Could you speak a little bit louder?
What do you suggest for time-based trial? How do I track
time-based
the time?
Trial?
Yeah.
You know, it depends on the application. I mean, a bathroom finder app is not a good app to have a trial capability on, typically. But for other types of applications, we see the conversion rates that, you know, close to a quarter of the people buy the full product within 2 hours. Half of them buy it within the full day. So, I mean, having a trial capability for like a week pretty much covers almost everybody. And if someone's not converting within a week, they're most likely not going to ever convert. Typically, most users make a decision within the first 48 hours of whether they want to do it or not. And so if your users aren't converting within 48 hours, there's really low likelihood that they ever will convert. So you can set it. There's no penalty to having it longer, but usually, you know, something within a week or 48 hours seems to be fine for most users because really most of them aren't trying to munge free capability. They're just trying to get a better feel and evaluate the app. And once they know that, yep, this is worth my 99 cents or $1.99, then they're going to pay that.
Okay, but how can I track the time correctly? Because First time we do that using isolated storage, and right now you can edit these files. I mean,
I'm sorry, can you speak a little bit closer to the microphone?
Where do I keep, tracking of time of trial?
Tracking of time of trials?
Yeah.
So trial downloads are separately available in the AppHub reporting mechanism, so it gives you a way of looking at your trial downloads.
I'm sorry, I maybe explained too bad, but where should I keep the time the trial is going on? I mean, in the isolated storage or where?
Oh, where in the code should you put the time trial?
Okay, so next question is, do you have plans on in-app purchase?
For in-app purchase. We know in-app purchase is a really important capability that we're looking to bring on. We don't have anything to announce today around in-app commerce, but it's something that we want to bring to the platform and do so sooner rather than later. We're just not able to share anything with you on that today.
Why can't I use my non-US credit card in US marketplace?
Why can you not use your non-US credit card in the US marketplace?
Yes.
What we try to do basically is for every user is your credit card is associated with your identity. Your identity is generated on a Windows Live ID basis for a particular country. The way the system works is that if your Windows Live ID is based in the US, then we expect that you are a US citizen and that if you have a credit card, it's a U.S. bank-issued credit card.
Yes, my Live ID is not U.S. based.
Right.
And I can access U.S. marketplace. Generally, I would like to have an international marketplace not associated with any country in particular. Actually, I want to buy apps.
Marketplace is not available in all the markets that Windows Phone 7 is, and that's just a function of us doing all the set of engineering, technical, business, legal, and work to enable marketplace in more markets. And so we're making a big step forward in Mango. We know that's not a universal solution for everyone in all countries. But we can talk more about your individual credit card. I know the guy to talk about that. Any other questions? All right. Well, thank you very much for your time and attention. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.